There is nothing worse than untapped potential. If you know that you're made for more, this is the place. I know that every successful person I've ever met has one thing in common. They do not let themselves fall victim to their circumstances. They figure out a way to rise above it. So join me on this journey where I help you to be better, do better, and have better in life and in business. If you're feeling stuck and you're needing some practical tools, some hope to get you to that better life, this is definitely the place for you. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Unstuck Podcast. I am your host, Lachelle Weamy. And you guys, today we get a chance to hear from Ryanne Doughty. She is the founder of Be In The Room, and it is an amazing, amazing community that I can't wait for her to tell us a little bit more about. So welcome to the show, Ryanne. I am so excited that you're here.
Hi, Lachelle. I'm excited to be here.
Why don't you tell us a little bit more about who you are, how you serve people, and specifically, I am dying to get all the details on Be In The Room. So why don't you go ahead and give us an insight into who you are?
Yeah, awesome. So as you said, my name is Ryanne Doughty. I live in Kansas City, Missouri. I'm married. I have three kids. I have a 17-year-old stepdaughter, a 5-year-old, and an almost 3-year-old. There's just never, ever, ever a dull moment around here. And Be In The Room is, we see it as a movement of women of action who rebel against the status quo and build a life of success on their own terms. This is a fairly new adventure for me and not my first parlay into entrepreneurship. This is actually, I think, business iteration number 3, but one that really lines up with, I think, my heart and my purpose and a work that I really enjoy. So I firmly believe that God put me on this earth to show women that they have choices. To show women that they are not stuck, which is appropriate since we're here having this conversation on the Unstuck podcast, and to show women that they really do have control over their lives, their business, and their circumstances. And Be In The Room is really just an extension of that. It is a community of women, and we say it's high-achieving women, but it's really a psychographic for us. It's women who are just really passionate about living life on their own terms. And so whether that means having a business, being an employee, climbing the ladder in a traditional way or a non-traditional way, you know, shooting for the moon in their business or building a lifestyle business or, you know, climbing the ladder in their career as quickly as they can or, you know, staying still for this season in life because of where they're at. So we wanted to create a space for those women to have open and honest and real and vulnerable conversations about the good, bad, and the ugly of success, right? We are so often chasing success, which I firmly believe is a moving target. We can talk more about that. But nobody talks about like what happens when we get there. And it's not, you know, butterflies and rainbows and cupcakes all of the time. And then where do we go to have those conversations? So we really created Be In The Room as that space for smart, high achieving, just really driven women to come together and celebrate the wins. We do that too, right? We don't sit around and complain, but it really is a space to say, hey, I'm in this really interesting season of life or business, or, you know, I'm presented with these different opportunities and I'm not sure which direction to go, or I'm having this really big challenge at work and I'm not sure what to do about it. So that's the container we created. And it's
that really sounds amazing. It almost sounds like a way to connect, form a community, a mastermind. There's collaboration, there's connection, there's celebration, all of the same things that I love as well. And so I think that it's so cool that you're doing that. And I also love how you mentioned that this is business number 3 for you. So you have done other things that I just find really fascinating as well, because it seems like whatever you touch turns to gold. I'm just going to say, which is so fun. It's so fun to watch. But it's really cool because you're laughing, which means that you've probably had some ups and downs like the rest of us have in this crazy world. So Ryanne, I would love for you to tell us, you know, have you ever felt stuck? Can you relate to that at all?
There's a reason I'm on business number 3, Lachelle, because I got stuck a few times, right? So I actually had a 15-year corporate career. I started my career selling radio advertising. If you could market on it, I sold it, I promise. And never really desired to become an entrepreneur, to be honest. Entrepreneurship kind of found me when I found myself really unfulfilled in my corporate job. You know, again, I'd climbed the ladder, I'd done the things, and I just didn't have that connection that I really thought that I would have at that point. And that's actually where I found entrepreneurship. So the first place I found myself really stuck was in this job. And I think the term, like the the term is like golden handcuffs. Like I was in this place, I was in a director level role. I was making a decent amount of money. I was the breadwinner in my family and felt like I didn't really have anywhere else to go, right? Like I was like, oh, I can't start over. You know, I was in my mid 30s at that point in the game. And so that was kind of the first version of feeling stuck. And like I said, entrepreneurship wasn't even a path that I thought of at that point in the game. Because to me, having sold marketing solutions to small businesses, having a business meant like a brick and mortar or having an office or something along those lines, not online entrepreneurship, not leveraging the skills that I already had. So that was kind of iteration number one. And then it just kind of kept going from there as, you know, we built business number one and business number two. Business number one, so my first business was, it's actually still the legal business name that I have is Uncensored Consulting, but it was the Uncensored Sales Program. And we helped high achieving women leave their 9-to-5 and build profitable businesses. And it was really incredible. And that one wasn't even really a stuck moment, Lachelle. It was, I saw an opportunity to make a larger impact in Social Sellers Academy. So that was business number two with a business partner that was actually a sales training organization designed to help online entrepreneurs build their sales teams. And in that opportunity, so my big picture vision is like books and speaking and, you know, really being a voice for women professionally. And I knew that if I was telling people, everybody should just quit their job and become an entrepreneur, like nobody's bringing me into like keynote at their company annual conference, right? Like I'm not getting in front of any like sales teams or anything like that.
Us entrepreneurs can be kind of a pain in the butt in corporate America a little bit because we kind of, you know, get stifled in that box a little bit. So I can imagine that.
That one wasn't stuck. It was just, I saw this opportunity for impact, right? Because again, I had this little corner of the world, which I love so much in female entrepreneurs, but I knew that I was like, I want to touch women who aren't in corporate careers. I want to touch women who, you know, are younger and older in all phases of their life. I still strongly champion sales as a great career for women. And so I knew that Social Sellers Academy, I saw that as a moment to expand my brand and be able to get in front of those women and have those conversations. And there I did get stuck in a space where, you know, we kept hitting a ceiling. And it's so funny because so often, I'm sure your listeners understand, I'm sure you see this often, your listeners feel this way. We think it's a sales problem or a marketing problem or a messaging problem or you know, an offer problem or an audience problem or whatever. But for me, it was a me problem. I was completely out of alignment. You know, I was pushing in one direction and wanted something different. I had a business partner where there were some values misalignment of what we wanted to create and what we wanted that to look like. And it was causing this really stuck feeling. And of course, you know, I looked external instead of internal. And you see how that went since we brought everything to the ground at the end of last year.
Yeah. And so what do you feel like you learned the most from that experience?
For me, it was really about trusting myself. It was trusting myself. My business partner was at one point in time, my business coach. She was someone who had been wildly successful in her corporate career and in her businesses. And I deferred a lot to her because she had more experience. She, you know, she had built bigger businesses. She had a bigger team. She had done this before. And I still had this, like, I'm a baby entrepreneur, which I knew I wasn't.
Yeah,
but I still felt that way, right? So I think the most important thing is really trusting yourself and trusting your gut. And when something doesn't feel right, even when it feels scary to disappoint people or let people down, sometimes it's the necessary step so you can truly step into where I'm really supposed to be and kind of my next iteration of myself.
Yeah, and I'm guessing that each one of these different milestones on your path took that big leap of faith of being able to trust your gut and to go against maybe what somebody else might consider being disappointing. So I'm going to guess that, you know, you choosing to leave your corporate job at first probably took a huge step of faith. You probably had to face disappointing your boss, your company, you know, your husband, if he's used to the stability of that. And that took a lot of courage. And then you had to kind of relearn that lesson again in different areas. And I think sometimes it's beautiful when we get to face the same kind of lessons over and over again and continue to refine it and grow from it, because it's meant to catapult you into exactly where you are now, right?
Right. Yeah, I never feel stuck.
Right? So what do you say to somebody who's really stuck right now, feeling like I just don't know if I'm brave enough to trust my gut on this. I'm really afraid I'm going to lose X, Y, and Z, lose this relationship, lose the stability, lose whatever it is.
Yeah. So, you know, for me, whenever somebody says they're stuck, you know, I've coached for a long time. People are like, Ryan, I'm stuck. I'm like, okay, if you weren't stuck, what would you do? Right? Like, that's always my question. Right? People are like, I don't know the next right thing to do. I'm like, but if you did know, it's actually funny. I started asking this question because I'll ask him things and he'll be like, I don't know. Yeah. I'm like, but if you did know, and he's, you know, he's right. So he doesn't really answer the question, but I'm thinking that way, right? Like, you don't know. You do know. It's a very strong likelihood that you do know what you want to do and where you want to go. You're just terrified to do that. So I think, to me, step one of getting unstuck is admitting that you're not stuck. You're afraid. And it's so funny that we're having this conversation, because I literally just posted on social media today is this idea of, I'm going to go track it down because it's 100% in line with this conversation, where I said, it's not about not caring about what anybody else thinks, right? Because it's impossible to do that, right? We're not ignoring our spouses, our friends, our partners, our parents. We're not proposing that, like, you burn all your relationships to the ground. So it's not about not caring what anyone else thinks. It's about caring more about what you think.
Yes. Oh my gosh, 100%. And if I am not giving you credit for this, like, I have so many amazing conversations, and you and I have had, you know, them before, but I remember somebody saying that if you're so worried about what other people think, you're putting their opinion higher than your own opinion.
Right.
And when you think about it that way, you're like, well, wait a minute. Like, I don't know if that feels right. Right. Because we do know. Right. And one of the things I ask people a lot too, along the same lines, is, okay, if you were to give me advice, if I were in the same position, what would you tell me to do? And it's crazy, because when we take out the emotion and we take out our own connection to the situation, and we can look at it from the outside, it's really quite remarkable on what it is that we would do if we weren't tied emotionally to the outcome. Right.
Right. Absolutely. Or tied to that person's opinion of us, right? Because sometimes we have to become somebody different in the eyes of people we really love and respect to become the best version of ourselves. And I mean, I wish that I had like a magic wand for making that not hard, but it is hard. It's just, I believe that our desires and our wishes and our hopes and dreams, that they come from God, that's how they're planted on our heart. And that to ignore those nudges and to ignore those dreams and desires is to ignore a gift that was given to you. And, you know, if somebody gave you it, actually packaged up a gift and gave it to you, you wouldn't ignore them when they gave it to you.
Right.
So in this space where we're ignoring the nudges and the desires of our heart, we're ignoring the gift that was given to us. Cause I don't think any of those things,
you know, I got to tell you that I haven't shared this with anyone, but a recent realization that I've had, cause you know how we have ahas on our journey, right? One of the realizations that I've had recently is that I suck at receiving. Okay. So I am like the servant, like give. And I'm literally listening to the sermon on Sunday all about how we can be servants, right? That we learn in the Bible that we need to serve first. But recognizing that when we are being served to, we have to be able to receive what is being served to us. And if we don't, we are essentially neglecting or rejecting, I guess, the person who's trying to serve us. And in my opinion, like, I've recognized that I am not good at receiving gifts and support and love from others or from God. And I think that once I was able to recognize that I am worthy enough of receiving completely from Him, He's going to take care of everything else. And I think that one of the things that I read today in my scripture was that we cannot be a slave to two masters. And when we are preoccupied with the opinions of others or to try to satisfy other people over what we're being called to do by our higher power, we are actually serving their opinions over what it is that we're being told to do.
Yeah. No, you nailed it. It's so funny you said that. My word for 2022 is
receive. My gosh. Mine's fun. And I'm having a blast talking to you right now. So we're both in alignment with what we're supposed to be doing. Let me tell you for sure. Okay. So you guys, what I want to do next is I want to just really touch into all of Ryan's wisdom, because clearly she knows that what the heck she's doing. She's built 3 successful businesses. And I want to really tap into all of her knowledge on how she can help all of us get from where we are to where we want to be. But first, I got to tell you all about something that I am so excited about. It is called the Better Club Backstage, and it's all about ways that you can connect with experts just like Ryan yourself. So you're going to want to tune into some deets, and then I'm going to come right back in and we're going to talk to Ryan about all the ways that we can help get ourselves from where we are to where we want to be. Hey, Lichelle here. And I just got to ask you, do you ever listen to podcasts or special training from gurus who are telling you exactly what to do, but you still have questions? Wouldn't it be amazing if you actually could ask questions to the people who are presenting to give you your personalized answer to how you can get into action and apply it to your unique situation? That is exactly why I created the Better Club Elite, which is a very special, very exclusive monthly membership that gives you access to those question and answer sessions that are going to get you into action and get you all lined up with everything that you need to start being better, doing better, and having better in life and in business. The support, the answers, and everything that you need to get you into action. So let's go. All right, sister, let's get back into this. I cannot wait to just continue to learn from you, because a lot of what we do here in the Unstuck podcast is learn from the experiences of the people that we're talking to. But we also want to be able to take the nuggets of your expertise and the lessons that you've learned and help us get into stinking action, right? Because really, if we're paralyzed by all of the fears and all of the things, we're not going to be stepping into the gifts and the purpose that we're being called to do. So what would you say has been the most impactful thing, action that you have gotten into that has led you to be the success that you are today?
Absolutely. One of the things that I've said millions of times in my entire career is the more people you talk to, the more money you make. Period, end of story. And whether that is a sales thing, whether it is a confidence thing, whether it is a networking thing, I mean, whatever you're doing, if you're ever really, truly feeling stuck, I will always tell people to go out and talk to other people. One, it's energizing. And some of you are like, I'm an introvert. This is not energizing. And I'm like, yeah, but the idea of connection, right? Like as humans, we were not designed to do life alone. And so as high achievers who have big dreams and goals, we have a tendency to climb inside when we get stuck, right? We're like, I can figure this out on my own. I'm strong. I'm fat, you know, all the things. And truth of the matter is we're just not designed to do life that way. So I would say the most powerful thing that I do whenever I am feeling stuck or unsure is connect. And so that may be connection through my friends and reaching out to somebody who I know is super smart and being like, hey, can we have a cup of coffee and chat through this? Or sometimes it is just like leaving the house. Like my son has t-ball practice tonight and I don't always go because my husband goes and he coaches, but sometimes I like to just go talk to humans because it gets me out from behind my desk and gets me out of my head. So for me, it's talking to people. That's the thing.
That's amazing. And I think that one of the things that what that can do is it can actually get us out of our heads in the space that it's not all about us. And I think that sometimes when I connect with people, I learn so much about maybe ways that I can serve them, or maybe ways that I can bless them in some way. And so I think that when we do feel stuck, the being in service of other people in just simple conversations can be just such a gift. I love that. You know, one of the things that you mentioned was sales, and I'm guessing that there's going to be some people that are listening to this that are like, Lichelle, you have to ask her about some of her expertise around sales, because that has been something that is really holding people back. I found myself that, you know, people are afraid to have the conversations because they're afraid to hear the no's. They're afraid to be ignored. They're afraid of not getting it right. So what are some of your best tips if people feel stuck in the sales space?
So the first thing we have to do is we have to redefine what sales means to us. So everybody has a sales story. And what I mean by that is like somebody says the word sales and there's an image that instantly comes into your head. It could be the used car salesman. It could be the telemarketer. It could be, I mean, there's a million different things that come to mind when you say that word, and we have to reframe that. Right? Because without sales, we don't have a business. Right. Period. End of story. So if you have a broken relationship with the thing that drives your business will continue to not grow as quickly as you would like. So for me, I like to reframe sales as selling is serving, and selling is helping. Those are my two favorite kind of reframes. It's like, I can't help anybody until they buy something from me, right? I can't serve anybody until they buy something from me, because unfortunately I just don't have the time or the bandwidth to give all of my things away for free. In a perfect world, maybe I would, but I don't. So the only way that I can really help somebody get a specific result, have a specific experience, is if they enroll in my program, buy my service, right, whatever that is for you. So the first thing when it comes to sales is just really reframing what sales is. I like to like draw it, bring it all the way back. Like if you strip down sales and you go Google, what is the word sales? It is the exchange of a product or service for money. Period. So any other story in your head about sales or what it is, it's yucky, it's gross, it's pushy, it's manipulative, I'm not an introvert, I'm not good at that, whatever the case may be, those are all stories. And what's really exciting about that is that we can use our stories, right? Because at its root, it's the exchange of a product or service for money. So any other feeling or meaning that you have given to it is given to it. And so that's kind of my first thing with sales. And the second thing with sales that I like to really, you know, we're so afraid of the no's, right? So many people like, you know, they're terrified of the no, but you know, would you rather hear no from somebody else or the no that you're telling yourself? Because every time you don't make an offer, you don't reach out, you don't invite somebody to work with you, you don't pitch your product or service, you're saying no to yourself. You're hearing no anyway, right? We're so terrified of no, but really we're just saying no to ourselves before anybody else can say no to us.
Yes. Oh my gosh. And you can't leave yourself. So you are stuck listening to that over and over again. And there's so many, I mean, we could talk about this particular one topic like for hours, because I hear so many things from people that I help that I could pick your brain, you know, gosh, all day long about that. I really want to just dive into more of the community around the Be in the Room and some of the things that you're seeing as a transformation within people that are already in your community. What are some of the things that you're seeing people are doing or that you're helping them do?
Absolutely. So what I really love about our community, Lachelle, is it's completely peer led. It's not about like, what is Ryan teaching? It is all led by our membership, which I think is really incredible. So even just today, so we host weekly events, and one of them that we host are hot seats or like peer advisory sessions where you get like 20 minutes totally focused on you. And those are maybe my favorite format of call because you get just so many new and different ideas from so many different people. So one of the gals, she's a relationship coach and she's got a program that she's been teaching live and she wants to pull it into something that's a little bit more evergreen, more sustainable. She can enroll more clients, eventually hire some coaches to support her in the business. And it's just so fun to watch. You know, I think we had probably about 14, 15 women on today, just sharing ideas. Have you looked at it this way? Have you thought of it this way? Look at so-and-so's program. They do it this way. Or, hey, I'm in this program and this is how it was done and it was really done well. Or it was done here in this community and it was not done well. So for me, the transformation, you know, because we're not a coaching program, we're a community. The transformation is this idea that we're getting so many different viewpoints and perspectives and ideas that it, you know, it's just that spark. It takes one idea from one person to send you off in another direction. And to me, that's probably like the most fun thing to watch, is to see that like that collaboration happen in a totally selfless giving way. Like it's so fun. And some of these women are paid, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars for their expertise, and to watch them give it freely inside of our community.
Is amazing. I used to run a community locally and we had something very similar to that. We called it a breakthrough. And so you could sign up for a breakthrough and then same thing, like you told about where you were stuck and then people within the group were able to tell you, you know, different angles, just like you're talking about. One of the things that I found is that the people who were maybe a little bit insecure in themselves or in their business were really afraid to put themselves into the hot seat, because what that could do is can point into all of these imperfections, right? And what I found is that the people that were the most secure in themselves and who truly, truly wanted to grow and learn were willing to be vulnerable enough to say, I don't know what this looks like. I need some help. Pick it apart. Give me the feedback. I need to move myself forward. Do you find the same in what you're doing as well?
Absolutely. I mean, I do see that there is some of that. But what's fun about our community is they're all pretty high achievers, and they all know that they have to put themselves in that uncomfortable place to grow. So I definitely see that. But I even had today, I had a hot seat. We do two hot seats.
Yeah.
And so today I had a hot seat because I'm relaunching one of my sales programs, and as under a different brand. And I was like, okay, you know, I'm And again, I'm just open about it. Like, I'm terrified. I'm uncomfortable. These are not things that I've done before. These are things that I was told to not do. And now that I'm, you know, in this different group, I'm watching people do this. And so, but I think it's the people that are willing to say, I'm uncomfortable, but I'm here anyway, because I'm not willing to let the discomfort keep me.
And I wanted to bring that up, you guys, because I feel like I've seen this before, both in, you know, my positions as a professor, even, or in my entrepreneurial space. The people who are most insecure about who they are the least likely to ask for feedback, because it's easy to get defensive, because your self-worth and your value is tied to what other people say or think about you. And so if you're asking somebody to purposefully look for flaws, that can be really, really uncomfortable. And so what I want to ask you guys is, are you someone who seeks out feedback, or are you someone who gets feedback and you immediately get uncomfortable and possibly even defensive? Even if you don't do it verbally, you feel the need to attack or defend yourself. It's something that I think can really give you an idea of where you're at. Because like Ryan said, she's in this group of high achieving, successful people who are all willingly putting themselves in this hot seat. And I think that when you can start to identify how you receive feedback and whether or not you seek out feedback is going to be a really good indicator to you on the level of maturity that you have and the level of growth that you have, and perhaps where you, you know, could be going next, right?
110%. I think that's a really great point. And it's funny because, you know, just been in this coaching bubble for so long that I'm like, everybody wants help. But you're right. The person who's most afraid of that judgment of, you know, feeling silly, feeling stupid, feeling like they don't know enough are the ones who are most likely to.
And then I wanted to bring up, because you mentioned imposter syndrome, maybe not those words, but when you were talking about the way that you had partnered with your coach and that she felt so much more experienced and successful in all of these things than you felt about yourself. And so you, sometimes we can get that negative self-talk going in, telling ourselves that we're not as good as somebody else, or maybe we don't belong here. Can you tell us a little bit about that experience so that we can make ourselves know that we're not alone in this? But because I think that you've done a really great job of getting past it. And that's where I want to go with that.
Yeah. So it's so funny because I actually really dislike the word imposter syndrome, because I mean, we've literally like created a syndrome to describe our fear, right? Like, it's like, don't worry, I just have imposter syndrome, right? You're like, I just can't go out today. I have the
flu. So it's the excuse.
I just can't do the thing that's really hard today because I have the imposter syndrome. So I actually really don't like the word at all, but I know that the question that you're asking is going to answer for you.
I love it. It's good to have the dialogue around this, because you're right. If we're making it an acceptable excuse, we're blaming something for the lack of growth there. And that is something that I just can't handle.
So that's kind of my thoughts on, but how do we not let fear drive is what I really think you're asking me. And for me, it's this idea that fear never goes away. Like, we are waiting to not feel fear. We are waiting to feel 100% confident. We are waiting to feel courage. We're waiting to feel all of these things. And the truth of the matter is that like confidence and courage and all those things come from doing it scared. Right? It's like, you know, the chicken or the egg. Like, I want to feel really confident, but confidence comes from action, right? Confidence doesn't come from the journaling. It doesn't come from, you know, all these other places that we think that it does. So for me, I don't know who I borrowed this from, but for me, it's like fear and anxiety and fear of judgment and all those other things. Like, it is always along for the ride. It is whether or not I'm going to. So it can sit in the passenger seat. It can say what it wants to say. Sometimes it can be real snarky, but it doesn't get to decide if we're turning left or right. It doesn't get to decide how fast or slow we're going. It's just along for the ride. So I'm not letting it drive. I'm not letting it stop me. I'm not letting it tell me to turn left when I know I need to go right. Right. But I'm like, okay, you're here and I appreciate what you're trying to do for me, but this is the way we're going to go. Right. Yeah. This is the map. The map says this is the way to go. So I appreciate you here and all the other junk that's sitting over there, but I'm just,
I love that, because I'm almost imagining like this really annoying backseat driver. And they're just trying to get, like, it's like, you know, the concerned aunt who is always right. And, you know, she really wants you to go this way because that's faster. and or that's, you know, safer or whatever. And it's like right. well intended, right? Fear is meant to keep us safe in a sense, right? To keep us from harm. But you're right that it cannot be driving, that there's a reason that you're in the driver's seat. And so to recognize that it's there, it's not going anywhere. Even people as successful as you still feel fear. I'm guessing that when you got in the hot seat today, you were still feeling fear, but it was worth it with the growth that you were able to get from it.
Yeah. I mean, I feel fear every day. Like that's even what you said. It's like everything you touch turns to gold. And I'm like, because over here, I'm still just a human having a human experience. Right? Like, I'm still just like, oh my gosh, what am I doing with my life? Is anybody going to figure out what I'm doing over here? Gosh, I don't know. You know, like it's, I still have that experience every day. I just don't let it be.
Yeah.
What
yeah, absolutely. And I think that that's one of the things that we have in common because I will just do the things. And I think that when it feels like, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm doing, it's because I'm trying new things constantly. If I were to have it all together, it would probably mean that I haven't tried anything new for a really long time. And that everything that I'm doing is just so well oiled. But where is the adventure in that? Where is following the calling that we have? Where is our purpose in that? And I think that if we try to live a life that is negate of fear and negate of any of that stuff, we're literally, well, our car is practically parked, right? We're not doing anything with it.
Right.
And that's not what we're called to do. We're called to live this life and to create as much purpose and impact as we possibly can, which is exactly what you're doing. And I'm so grateful for this conversation. So is there anything that you haven't had a chance to share with us that you really, really wanted to make sure that our audience had a chance to hear?
So I'm going to tell you a story. It's very funny. That talks about like being stuck and it doesn't matter what level we're at, that we have our own story. So I was a college athlete. I played college volleyball at a small Division I school in New York State. And it was my freshman season, and we went down to Auburn to play in a tournament. And Auburn is a big D1 school, really good program. And we were terrified, right? Like we're totally out of our league. We had a new coach and she just like swung for the fences with the schedule and it was not awesome. But anyway, so we're in the locker room and you can tell just by the energy in the space that we're all like, we're gonna get our butts kicked, right? And coach said this to me and there's nothing original about it, but I think of it often where she says all the time, like everybody puts their spandex on one leg at a time, right? We're volleyball players. So we put our spandex on one leg at a time. So it doesn't matter. So if you think that there's this level that you're going to get to, or there's this thing that's going to happen where all of a sudden some switch is going to flip in your head and you're going to be like, oh my God, I made it. Like, at least for me personally and the women that I know, none of us.
Right. Oh my gosh.
We're all still just putting our spandex on one leg at a time.
Oh my gosh. Well, the funny thing, I'm going to go off of that story because I think that sometimes when we can picture things and relate to people in stories, it really does help. And so one of the things that I have done for years is public speaking. So I will be, you know, going on a stage in front of hundreds of people and, you know, present something, right? I still get nervous. And so here I am, like every single time before I go on stage, I'm in the bathroom. I you know, have to pee like a billion times, I swear. So like even people who are on stage have to go to the bathroom, right? Like even Oprah has to go to the bathroom. So we're all like, we're all there, right? Using the toilet paper like we're supposed to. But I would like literally just like run in place just to get out like extra nervous energy. It didn't matter if it was the first time or it didn't matter if it was 100th time that I was going to be on stage. And so like to put ourselves into that place, like I could get more graphic about the Oprah thing, but I won't on this episode. But like for real, right? Like people, we're all human beings. And I'm guessing that Oprah even gets nervous before she goes and does certain things. And I think that what the difference is with you, with Oprah, with myself, is that we choose to get into action anyway. And I think that it's right. really just beautifully said about just who's in the driver's seat. And Ryan, I'm really, really grateful for you sharing your story, your vulnerability, your successes, your tips with us. It has been an amazing, amazing conversation. And I'm sure that you guys all feel the same. So one of the things that I do when I wrap up every conversation is I ask my guests to give the audience a question that they can think about that's going to help them move from where they are to where they want to be. So what kind of coaching question would you ask the audience to think about?
What do you really want?
I love that. Can you expand any more just to give people some context?
Yeah. So often we do things because we should, Yes. Right? Or we think we should. Like, I should launch this. I should launch that. I should have a podcast. I should have a YouTube channel. I should be on TikTok. I should be doing reels. I should be writing content. I should be launching. I should be running a webinar. I should have this group coaching program. I should, you know, we can't scale one-on-one, right? Like, we have all these shoulds. And, you know, that's the thing. The first time I still do some one-on-one private coaching and consulting. And people will be like, okay, this is all the stuff that I have going on. And, and I'm like, cool, what do you want? And they're like, I'm like, well, you have all of these things. Like, what do you actually want? What do you want to wake up every day and do? How do you want to help your clients? How do you want to feel? What sort of lifestyle do you want to have? Do you want to work a lot? Do you want to work a little? Do you want to work one-on-one with your clients? Do you want to work one-to-many? Do you actually want? Because so often what we're creating is not because it's what we want. It's because what we're watching other people do, or that's what we think we have to do to be successful. So my favorite kind of coaching question is, what do you really want? Money is no object. Time is no object. Price is no object. Audience size is no object. Like, what is your perfect world, perfect business, perfect life, wherever you're at? And then how do you go to work to create that? That is going to help you in so many steps along the way. And the reason that I love that question and it's so powerful is that's actually one of the reasons why I was so willing to retire my program, the Uncensored Sales Program, because you heard me say how much I loved it and how transformational it was, but I had created a business that looked just like somebody else's business, and it was big and it was heavy, and we had like a bajillion coaching calls, and we had all these coaches, and I had this like team of six people, and everybody got this and this and this, and we had this giant membership site, and it was really good, but gosh, it felt heavy every day, Lachelle. It felt like there were so many moving parts and pieces, and I had to be in so many places at once. So yeah, we were making a lot of money, and yeah, our clients were getting great results, but I was kind of dying inside most days. And you know, because I never stopped to ask, what do you want? I'm just like, oh, okay, well, this is what so-and-so does. So this is what I'm going to do. And this must be the way to build the thing. And I never stopped to ask that question. So if you are feeling stuck, it is probably because you are trying to do something that is not in resonance or in alignment with what you actually want, which is why you will not put fear in.
Oh my gosh. I love that. That is so beautiful. And I could expand on that, but I want to leave it right where it's at because it's so spot on. So everybody, make sure that if you haven't already, take a screenshot so that you can share this episode in your stories, in your social media. Let everybody know that you had an amazing time learning from Ryanne. Tell everybody about her because she is quite remarkable. We'll have all of the ways that you can connect with her inside the show notes so that it's easy for you to follow her, connect with her, work with her if you want to. And there'll be information in there in addition for the Be in the Room program. So, all right, you guys, have a great rest of your day. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Thank you so much for listening to the Untuck Podcast. I am so grateful to be on this journey with you. And don't forget to check out the show notes if you want to get into my private club, The Better Club, to be able to learn better ways to be better, do better, and have better. So until next time, keep showing up. Let's get unstuck together. Have a great day.